My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the EDP F1 podcast. This is Archant Towers. My name is Michael Bailey, and it's time to get all American because Formula One is going USA.
Yeehaw.
That was David Tilliam with the yeehaw. He is here, as is Perry Hamilton.
Howdy.
As is Kyle Cumbers.
Hello there. I'll go pre-born.
You said it, Kyle. And John Luton is here as well.
Howdy as well.
Howdy as well. All so American, aren't we? And stuff. And of course, America might be a completely different country now. With the historic events, as in, you know, it'll go down in history.
Can we
just like stuff. Every American election?
Can we do a prediction?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Obviously,
yeah,
being yeah. recorded before the event. After you, Michael.
I think it'll be Al Gore. No.
Okay, is that around the same time?
Can
as
he be vice president?
Is this where Schumacher's winning championships? Is that what's going to happen there?
I'll be Obama.
Yeah, I'll go with Obese.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, Obama.
Yeah.
I think Schwarzenegger's going to sweep in at the last
one. I'm holding you to that one. That is staying. All right, then. Well, if we've all said Obama, I presume.
Yeah, I think so. I don't really know.
Completely.
I know nothing about American politics. It confuses me completely. I mean, about get English politics, but American politics just doesn't seem to make any sense because am I right in saying that you can get the most votes and still not be president?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. How's that work?
It's democracy, David.
It doesn't sound like it.
It's fine.
There we go.
That's enough of the of the American electoral system. Let's get stuck into something far more straightforward, of course, which is Formula One. Back in the USA, Austin, Texas, the Circuit of the Americas, I believe. I'm sure it's probably the race has got some sort of sponsorship deal. David, do you reckon?
Not I'm aware
is,
of.
Is it the Santander American Grand Prix?
I am on Wikipedia as we speak.
Excellent. Yeah, that's what we like to hear. Our Wikipedia official information supplier of the EDP F1 podcast. First things first, then. They've tried it before. They're trying it again. In a couple of years' time, they might be trying twice as hard. Formula One in the US, will it ever work, or is it just forever going to be a Talladega Nights Jean Girard stereotype?
If it's ever going to work, now is the time. I mean, before, when you've taken it to Indy, you've got the diehard Formula One fans. They don't go to see cars going round in an oval. We go to see cars going up Eau Rouge. That's what the Formula One fan looks for. You look for fast, sweeping corners. You look for hairpins. You look for chicanes. I mean, we could go around the table. We won't, but we could go around the table and name a famous corner in Formula One. We'd probably all come up with a different corner. You know, that's what you want. You don't want a big oval. This track's been designed with drivers in mind. This is a custom-built, purpose-built track that will also invite other racing to go over to America as well. If it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen now. It's still going to attract and appeal to the European and the worldwide markets, but might actually now break, especially coming off the back of an eventful race in Abu Dhabi, it might break into a new market, and Bernie likes to go where the money is, and there is plenty of money in the States.
John, Carla, are you two guys fans of IndyCar or NASCAR or any American motorsport?
Not really. I think the last IndyCar was in Mansell. It was racing a long time ago.
Oh, heyday.
I've watched the occasional race of IndyCar and NASCAR, but nothing really follow it. Like I said, prepare your sort of hope they... They say it's the last hope, and we keep being told that Formula One teams want to be in America. And I'm sure we'll mention soon the track does look good. And I think I've heard that it's sold out. It might be incorrect there, so that's a good sign. I also believe MotoGP is going there as well, so there's a real strong push for it. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely, fingers crossed, absolutely. What I would say is it seemed from, I suppose, the World Wide Web, there seems to be still a decent community in America that's following Formula One tightly, and I suppose it's not quite as easy getting across Britain to a race as getting across America to get to Austin. But you'd think, if, like Perry says, if they get it right, it could come off.
I think with America, though, the problem is for Formula One is that Americans like to see American champions, or at least American drivers, and I think until you get to that point, it's the same way, you know, 13, 14 years ago, like, probably a bad thing to mention now because what's happened the last few weeks, but like with cycling was nowhere in America, and then Lance Armstrong came out, started winning stuff, you know, not legitimately now, obviously, but that's what got Americans more into cycling. And I think it's the same with Formula One. They need, for it to really break through into America, they need an American champion, because that's what Americans, you know, like to actually see. So I think as soon as maybe it is a push that in the next few years there will be American drivers, and that will help, you know, the sport grow in America, as well as, you know, we've got a lot of Japanese drivers, we've got, you know, Indian drivers, we've got South American drivers, so we're covering the world that way, and that's where, you know, the sport is increasing in size. So it's just logical, the next step, to have something from America, maybe even an American team at some point in the future, would be that would what would cement Formula One in the States.
Well, the USGP was supposed to be the fourth new team in 2010, and they couldn't quite get the old funding for
it. You're looking at this race taking place in Texas. I can assure you their hometown hero for the weekend is going to be Sergio Perez. He is going to have so much just love from that Texican crowd that's going to be there, that, you know, that Tex-Mex feel. They're going to, you know, there's going to be a lot of Mexicans will have made that trip across the border to see him. And he is going to be the kind of hometown hero they'll be able to root for. But on a national scale, as you say, John, you know, you've got to have someone who is homegrown, corn-fed, that kind of thing. You know, your real all-American hero.
Bring back Scott Speed.
Don't do it. Well, Alexander Rossi, maybe he'll be wheeled out.
Is he getting his P1 drive?
I meant to check.
Okay.
It will be with Caterham, I would have thought, if he gets a chance. Possibly. I know Guido van der Garde got the go last weekend in Abu Dhabi, so we shall see. Circuit of the Americas track, I think there's quite a few elevation changes. There's one particularly spectacular one, I think, isn't there?
I was quite amazed when I watched the footage of Jerome D'Ambrosio driving around it at the weekend, or during the week that he'd done before. And when you see it from the car level, it really is a hell of an elevation. And it's not like Eau Rouge, where you get to the top and it flattens out, you know, you've got this plateau until you get to the next corner. You know, it you get to the top, you turn left, and it goes downhill again. So it's a bit of a crazy kind of turn. I think the drivers will really, really enjoy that. And actually, I think they've done a really good job from what I've seen. And that's what they needed, I think, for the new US Grand Prix. What they've done in the past is they've taken old tracks at Indianapolis and various other tracks that aren't designed for Formula One cars, that are designed for NASCAR in the oval sense, and Indy cars in the you know, really quite boring non-technical turning sense. And what they've done is they've said, right, we're actually going to make a proper racetrack that's designed for Formula One cars. And that's what they've done. And I think that's possibly why it might succeed better than previous Grand Prix, because it's designed for Formula One specifically.
Fantastic. It's going to be fascinating seeing the cars go around a new track, as it usually is. Let's hope the track delivers.
Mm. Saying about new track, though, according to Wikipedia, Kimi Raikkonen has set the fastest lap of the circuit of the Americas.
Has he? Already?
Yes.
So quick. It's already done.
Last pole position was Lewis Hamilton. And on the last podium, apparently, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso and Felipe Massa.
This is Wikipedia, official information supplier of the EDP F1 podcast.
I think they've got it a bit confused and replaced the information with information from the last American race, but there we go.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, we'll leave them to it for now. It could just be that Kimi, you know, someone left Kimi alone because he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Let's go through this nice and quickly then, because we've got two races to go. There's a penultimate race in America. What I want to know, gents, is who has the most to gain and the most to lose from the weekend? Now, it's obviously plainly obvious in some cases, maybe not in others. I'd like your suggestions. I have just dropped this on you now. So who am I going to go to first? Go on, David, you were talking.
All right, then. I think most to lose has obviously got to be Vettel, because he's on a charge. He's got the best car. He's still leading the championship despite starting at the back of the grid in the last race. He's on a roll. If he can't secure the championship or at least the majority of the championship in this race, then he has gone backwards effectively. At this point, Alonso has nothing to lose, because he's now chasing. And anything he does that's an improvement is an improvement. So yeah, Vettel's got the most to lose. I think Alonso is going to struggle, but I think he's in the easier seat, as it were, now.
Oh, David's bagged the easy ones. Who wants to go next?
See, I'm with David on that sense, but I'm also with the most to gain and lose. It's basically every driver who doesn't have a contract for next year. This is the time where they're going to have to prove that they can do it to get a new contract. Because if they don't, there's plenty of young drivers coming up through the other, you know, the other categories below them, who would love a drive in F1. And if some of them have got money behind them, they're going to get the jump on, you know, certain drivers. So, you know, without naming any names of the people who are going to drop off, but, you know, people, I don't think Senna's got a contract for next year, and I don't think he's got the same money backing behind him as he has done in the past few years. So there's going to be pressure on people like him where he has to perform, because if he doesn't, then he might not be with a drive next year.
Same.
Yeah, totally agree. I think Mercedes need a good weekend, looking at the teams. I think it's four races without a points finish, some which isn't good.
Hamilton must be
no,
loving that.
Yeah. So, oh, he's not looking. Yeah, he's still concentrating on McLaren, obviously.
I think. Also, I think maybe with the British press taking more of an interest in Mercedes coming up, they just really need a half decent race will do for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Most to gain is the United States of America. Most to lose is the FIA. That's the key to this. Irrespective of what happens on track.
See, that's why you bring him in.
That's why I'm here. But that really is what it is. This is a very, very important race to the championship, and it could decide it. But at the end of the day, this is more important for the future of Formula One in America as a race.
Bang, bang. The most to gain is Michael Schumacher, because at the moment his Formula One comeback, whatever it was, is dying with the most pathetic of whimpers I have ever seen, and all semblance of his reputation. I think he could, if he does something special in these two races, I think it would make a massive difference to how a lot of people are going to perceive him. There we go then. Right, that is the penultimate race. It is our penultimate chance to get some prediction points on the board. Now, John, you're back in the loop. It's good to see you. You are a little way behind in terms of the number of predictions, but, you know, there's still room on the old percentages. Who said what on the weekend? Let me just check. I said that Kimi would be on the podium, which was partly correct. The others were wrong. Kyle, Vettel pole, Hamilton win, and Toro Rosso double points finish, which you were really close to getting.
Yes,
I think very close to getting, but that was still a nil, which oh for Oracle, you know, it's for 1 week only. David Tillier, I'm going to use both names for this part if that's all right. Vettel podium and win, Alonso score well, yeah, I gave you that one. The second is scoring quite well. Caterham 12th, so close. And Ped, Lewis win, Vettel second, Perez third. It's just too specific.
Oh, come on, Lewis. Lewis was on track, and Vettel would have at least had second. I mean, I may not be getting the exact points, but I'm pretty close.
Well, I'll take that. That's fine. So anyway, as the lead stands at the moment, Kyle, you are ahead on 40%, whatever that means. David, you're second on 30. Woo-hoo. I'm third on 23, so I've fallen behind. Ped, you're on 19, fourth. That's closable easily. Then it's John, and good old Ben Weaver is sixth, and Ben Mouncer from his one appearance is seventh. But that's, you know, those two. That's fine. You know, they've only had a couple of shots at it. So, US Grand Prix, predictions, please. I'm going to start with you this time, Perry.
Vettel's going to be impossible to beat. Just to hopefully keep the Brazilian Grand Prix interesting, I'm going to say that Alonso will have a hard-fought battle with Hamilton, and Alonso will be on the podium as well. So I'm keeping it loose there. So Vettel for the pole and win, Alonso on the podium, and Mercedes to get a point.
You can claim some credit for that, Carl, if you want.
I'm going to have to go Vettel pole. I mean, he's... quick there. I'm going to go Alonso win. I think that's it's going to push it to the last Grand Prix. I think it's just due a win, so law of averages. or something like that. And my sort of outsider random prediction, I was going to go with Mercedes, but that's kind of already been stolen. I'll go Felipe Massa podium.
Felipe Massa podium. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Some big calls. I think this is a really tough one to call because we don't know much about the circuit. And there's a few teams who are maybe showing some promising signs.
I'm going to go Vettel for pole and to win the race.
Oh, John.
I think as well, Hamilton after the last few races and obviously was what happened the weekend, I think Hamilton, obviously if the car works for him, I think he's going to be determined that he has to prove that he can do something with the McLaren before he leaves. So I think he's going to be up there on the podium.
Brilliant stuff. Brilliant stuff. David has been thinking long and hard about this.
I am stroking my chinny chin chin. I think it's definitely going to have to be Vettel for the win. I think he is dominant. I think he will like this track from what I've seen. I think he'll go well. It's hard to say that Alonso is not going to be up there, but I think he might be beaten by the McLarens. I have a slight inclination that Button might get on quite well with this track as well. So it is a bit of an unknown quantity. So I'm going to take a risk and I'm going to say Vettel, Button, Alonso. I'm not 100% confident, but I'm going to go with it anyway.
As a top three.
Oh, I'm not
specific.
I'm not specific.
Will bite you. I tell you that.
There's a high difficulty tariff on this thing, I'll warn you.
Yeah,
but it's too late now.
Yeah. You've got to bet big or go home.
Pretty much.
It's like a home or away round on question of sport.
It is.
I'll make it more difficult. I get more points. Yeah,
you all wish. I think it's really tough. I think, what did I just think in my head? I think a McLaren's going to win. And I think Kimi is going to finish ahead of Alonso, and I think Vettel might well finish above those two, if that makes sense.
So at least either Vettel or Alonso is not going to be on the podium.
You could work out a top four out of that, I think. Yeah. So there you go, bang. Now the battery thing is flashing on the thingy.
Best we sign off.
So best we sign off in hurry, and I'm sure you've heard enough of our voices anyway. So gentlemen, David, John, Kyle, Perry, thank you so much for coming in. Appreciate your time and your thoughts. We're almost there, almost the end of the season. It'd be sad.
Nothing to do.
Quite.
It's still American football.
Yes. Perry licks his lips in anticipation of the weird football. You can get us on Twitter as always. I'm going to go around at me. You can get at me at Michael J. Bailey. David
at Gridwalk.
Still. John
at John Leeson.
Kyle
at K-Cumbers.
Perry
at PedHD56.
Brilliant. Tell us your predictions for the American Grand Prix. Or slate us for hours. We're happy with either. Don't forget, latest Lotus and Caterham news at edp24.co.uk/F1. There's a link there to the podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes. You can read my weekly Formula One column, which is in the EDP on Wednesdays. It goes online later in the week. There is everything there you could wish to have. And that is us done. We will be back to sum up, digest, take in the American Grand Prix in a week or so time, I think. Great stuff. Bye for now.